as a pharmacist and as someone who's seeing their loved ones using the wrong information and making choices of the wrong information, it hit home. This challenged me to get out of my box and really find that peace and love, to know that in my spirit, I am helping you more than just getting your copay and telling you to go home and see you next month. And so Reach One, Teach One has been a consistent theme in my life, but also just in my actions. So I thrive in the realm of service.
Welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends, where we gather our clan who want to experience more peace, love in their lives. But no, it sometimes means bringing a bat to take a stand. We will experience Kluberty together and grow. I'm Uncle Dave, and our transformation starts right here. Hey now, and how are you doing? So today, as our first guest, we're going to have Dr. Dilan Canterbury, sort of like the Canterbury Tales, but Dr. Canterbury is a pharmacist who founded the organization Geriatrics, which is a telehealth medication management company that focuses on reducing and ultimately leaving patients, caregivers, and providers with the gap that they are so much needed, and to help reduce the confusion that's already out there in the navigating the complex health system. As we all know, getting medicine is one of the most complex things, and we're always at a position where it's really difficult to figure out the doctors. Some people just believe. I know my family, my mom always believes the doctor's always right. You don't question a doctor with medication, and we need people like you to make sure that we're able to do it. So now, Dr. Canterbury, I just wanted to tease you a little bit about the empowerment we want to do. Is I was researching, and you're all over. I mean, even just the links, you're all over talking about this vaccine, this awesome vaccine. And it made me start about the Canterbury Tales, the doctor in the Canterbury Tales. And the doctor was actually one of the most important people in the Canterbury Tales. He was middle class. And as I started thinking about you, I was like, yeah, the doctor finds the best resources for everyone alike. He knows what to do. He listens. And he really discusses different ideas. Like in the Canterbury Tales, they didn't talk about everything the same way. It wasn't only the leeches, it was Middle Ages. But this doctor in the Canterbury Tales actually spoke about a lot of different things and looked at other ways of going it. And he had a friend who was an apothecary. I know you're the pharmacist, so you're going to be the one and all in our Canterbury Tales today. And I knew that you'd be the right person to talk to us a little bit about the vaccine. And I know you're on a lot of organizations that are pushing out the vaccine in terms of not only giving it, but also communicating it, why it's the right thing to do in a lot of communities. And it goes to show, again, the relationship to the Canterbury Tales is the unparalleled skill, you know, using the science at the time of the doctor in the Canterbury Tales, and of course, our own Dr. Canterbury, who's giving us the knowledge that's out there today. Dilan, welcome to Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. How you doing?
Oh, man. I'm doing great, Dave. Thank you so much for the warm intro and really for having me be on your podcast. This is amazing, man. Congrats, man. This is awesome. I'm loving it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you guys are getting a little cold weather. We're getting a little snow up here in New York. And so this is like fresh snow. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it's a really important thing to talk about. No matter what people believe at, I'd like to just put out the facts in terms of the things. And I thought you were one of the best people who would do that. And that's what one of the things we want to do as part of this podcast is not only find everybody a safe space, but also to try to communicate the right messages and give out the real information.
Right. Absolutely, Dave. I mean, you're spot on that. You know, I'm grateful I have power. Texas has been hit pretty hard with the snowstorm that just ran through. But North Carolina is cold, but it's not snowing. We've had a lot of black ice. We've had some winter warnings. But I'm grateful I'm home with my family and my dog and doing okay. So I'm excited to be here and especially more excited to talk about Geriatrics, my telehealth company, and what we're doing to fight against COVID conspiracies and misinformation.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about that because I know there's a lot of information out there on both sides, and I'd really like to hear the real what I believe is the real information, because I do believe science will win, and that's why we need to hear the messages from people like yourself. So why don't you tell me some of the things? I know you've been all over communicating this message, but could you share with us the beginning of the message or a big part of the message?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'm going to just go back to when I was working as a poison control pharmacist. So believe it or not, I was answering those calls. Hey, my kids swallowed a silica gel or drank some bleach. What do we do? And, you know, they have a team of nurses and pharmacists that try to work through that process for the patient and maneuver if they need emergent care. So in working there, we ended up becoming the state for North Carolina response team for COVID. And this was back in January or February when it was just like still a blip on the radar, you know, unknown to the general population. So we were here thinking, all right, COVID's in Wuhan. Let's just keep an eye on it. And we have a team of people already asking questions that come from anything you can name. I've got Bill Gates is making a new virus with robots to control our minds. I've got everything from what kind of like sterilization vaccine is this going to be? And I mean, the questions at first, they seem a little extreme, but after a while, when we start seeing more and more cases pop up across other countries, and then it finally hit us, you know, in the U.S., it became reality. And, you know, I've been talking about COVID literally for over a year. I didn't think it would lead to this trajectory to where Geriatrics focuses on really empowering our patients with knowledge and having the tools to really fight misinformation. And what this does is, you know, it gives them the strength to really think through, all right, what's the best move for my loved one? What should I do for my family? Should I even get the shot now that it's now becoming more available? And unfortunately, misinformation kind of was a part of the problem since this virus came about. We had a president that didn't really care about the virus, let alone thought it was a hoax. And so that led to so much misinformation, miscommunication, inconsistencies between the CDC providers and even state regulators. So trying to combat all of this and then come back. Now we're looking a year into this plus some more. It was a difficult journey, but as a pharmacist and as someone who's seeing their loved ones using the wrong information and making choices off the wrong information, it hit home. It hit home to my family. It hit home to what I had to do and my bigger calling of getting the message out and the word out of, hey, look, anti-vaxxer or not, this is not here just for a month or two. This is here to stay. And we as a people are dying by the millions. So let's do what we can, trust the science and find ways to get the right people to tell you the best objective evidence and advice.
Now, so how did you actually, were you able to convert people, family members who might have believed some of the misinformation that was out there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm just for those listening, I am an African-American pharmacist. And unfortunately, our country hasn't really been the nicest in terms of how they've abused and mistreated minorities within the healthcare system. We still have pretty strong examples of the Tuskegee experiment that are still swirling in our very recent memories to date, as well as certain other federally funded projects, for instance, like the North Carolina Eugenics Program, which focused on sterilizing over 7,000 minority Black females, thinking that they were going in for a routine procedure. So there's a lot of mistrust and a lot of reason to have skepticism towards the vaccine when you have a healthcare system that really tends to leave those who are marginalized really to fall through the cracks. So I've had loved ones, particularly my second mom, who I call one of my mentors, who was citing the Tuskegee experiment, although she was citing it relatively incorrectly in terms of the actual what happened in the trial. But that was enough mistrust for her to say, I am not getting that vaccine. Even though I'm older, even though I'm obese, even though I know I qualify to get it, even though I have these risk factors, I'm going to wait because I don't trust the government and I don't trust healthcare. And they probably don't trust Trump. It's a bit further. So when you have someone who has all of these, not just prejudices, but just general thoughts about the process, you got to have someone to advocate and make sure they are acting on the right info. So I've had aunts, I've had friends, I've had cousins who reach out and say, hey, man, what should I do? I'm eligible. I don't want a third leg. So this is why geriatrics and particularly myself, we focus on servant leadership. And so we've become involved on active COVID task forces. We've become involved on local community town halls and panels and church events and just constantly speaking the truth that we see in the science and in the details to get people the right info and make sure that they're making the best decision. And honestly, we've had some believers converted. Even if it took me a couple months, I got someone who finally said, that same second mom, all right, I'm going to get it. It took me 5 months, but hey, she's going to get it. So I can rest a little easy knowing that at least she'll be protected for now.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was going to talk to you. So now, bring a bat obviously doesn't mean to be violent or anything. It's about when you need to take a stand. So I love that you were able to take a stand with your family and in your community to educate them and be like, yes, I understand all the things that have happened in the past, but that's not this instance. You know, this instance is completely different than anything else. I mean, I really think that 2020, a lot of people are saying, was a bad year on so many different levels, but I actually am looking for the peace and love in it because we're able to communicate differently and better in many cases, not in all cases. So what's something that brings you pure joy in both your professional life as well as your personal life?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for asking that. It's a good question, you know, and just thinking about it, I mean, what first comes to mind is really just living in your true self. And for me, that was serving my people, my community. And I mean all people. I mean all people who don't have resources or access to care. And I get a high off of it, man. I can't be honest. I enjoy knowing that our interventions with geriatrics have saved patients money, have found ways to give them the strength and power and education to ask the right questions to make sure they are getting great care. And then they now have the confidence to take that forward, you know, with their other loved ones and ask, hey, is this the right drug for me? Are we sure? Can we double check? And knowing these stories and hearing people say, oh my gosh, you just saved me $2,000 in a year. That stuff makes me happy. And it just makes me just joyful. And as a pharmacist, to be honest, who spent the last 6-7 years as a pharmacy manager, day in, day out, counting pills by five and, you know, trying to find the hope in a broken healthcare system, I was depressed. You know, I came from a very dark place. Like, I did not enjoy my field. I hated pharmacy. I definitely hated the places I worked. And I definitely felt that even though I'm giving you all these medications, I don't think you're getting better. This isn't an anti-medication stance. It's, are we really looking at the bigger picture, you know? And so this challenged me to get out of my box and really find that peace and love to know that in my spirit, I am helping you more than just getting your copay and telling you to go home and see you next month. Like, that's not healthcare, yeah, man. It's really not. So
yeah, you're doing more than just helping. I mean, I know we spoke about it, but geriatrics has already saved almost $250,000. That is incredible for your clients, and that's some serious money. I mean, you know, especially depending on what you know. I know you're working with all types of people, but that's a major number for each one of those lives, and most of those people probably needed every dollar, every penny that you were able to save. And as a pharmacist, I mean, I know that's the challenge, is we over-medicate, you know, and that's, it's a challenge But as a pharmacist, you were able to, you had just had a, you know, if you got an order for five, you have to give five out, right? You know, you weren't able to make that decision. But now, as the founder of Geriatrics, you can help people figure out in a safe way, right?
Yeah. And that's it. We look at any medication that we can get rid of safely and effectively. That's really our core model. So we start with a full medication review. That's the first step. So we look for anything that may be a duplicate. I see patients that have duplicate therapies all the time. So you're paying two copays for the price of really just one. Well, you're paying two, but you really need one. And here you are wasting money. You've been doing it for how long? Not realizing you could have saved that with a pharmacist intervention. We're also looking for drugs that don't work. If you have been on a medication and you still have heart attacks, guess what? Something's wrong with the medication. It was supposed to prevent you from having a heart attack. So that's the kind of holistic care we're looking at. We're looking at precision medicine. We're looking at deprescribing, which is a method of safely discontinuing meds you don't need. And we're also looking at other financial barriers that may impact the patient. Like if it's someone who is on a fixed income, you can't expect them to take a newer, higher copay drug that has a $47 cost a month. You can't expect them to take it. Guess what happens? They don't take it. They get to the pharmacy, they get that price. They're like, oh, okay, I'm not getting that. And that's what happens next. They either become another gap. They don't say anything to the doctor. They don't find out until 3 months later. Oh yeah, doc, I never knew to get another one. Or they don't advocate and say, hey, look, is there any other option? Is there anything else we can do? And unfortunately, because we don't have this way of looking at things preventatively, healthcare is so reactive because it makes money. They make money when people are sick. They make more money when you're in the hospital longer. It's a sick system, and I hate to say it, but that is why we started Geriatrics, to fix this outdated, flawed way and really just give the best care we can, man, with a cost savings approach.
Yeah, that's awesome. I could tell how much peace and love you put into that. But let's talk about the bring the bat. So what made you do this? You're a pharmacist. You had a job. And
ooh, well, it's a twofold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, go ahead. Huh?
Yeah, it's a twofold story. And I'm going to first start with the real dark side. And the dark side is, I went into pharmacy school coming to save the world, bright, just doe-eyed, innocent, naive. Oh, I'm going to come in and we're going to change healthcare. We're going to do a nonprofit drug pharmacy company, and we're going to make drugs for low and just change it all. And I was like, oh, the real world is pretty ugly. Coming out of school with $500,000 in debt and trying to figure out what's the best way to sustain myself and help my patients, right? I became a pharmacy manager, and God almighty, I hated having to answer to metrics, having to answer to, did you call that patient 20 times and bother them while they're at work? Like, did you talk to them? Did you give them care? Which was just saying, hey, did you have any questions? Okay, no? Okay, great. And just checking off a box, And that to me wasn't fulfilling. And so because of this day in, day out metrics instead of real healthcare, and this is a retail pharmacy setting. This is not what all pharmacists do. They have several pharmacists in different areas like the hospital. They have pharmacists in research, but it's a little harder to get into those fields than you think. So that being said, I did this for about 6-7 years, unfulfilled, completely depressed. Hated my life. Honestly, I even hated my patients at one point. It got really bad, Dave. And so I ended up, abusing alcohol after work. I ended up having to be put on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications because I couldn't handle the stress at home because I never felt I could rest. And so where I brought the bat was when I finally started to do some volunteer work and get back to that service that I really got into pharmacy to begin with, And that was with a couple of nonprofits I worked with. Senior Pharmacist is one, which is a nonprofit pharmacist run, basically a Medicare enrollment company. They help patients who are eligible with Medicare maneuver which plan to choose, and they do medication reviews, and they find financial assistance for them in case they have any low income or any barriers to care. And I was so inspired to see that there are teams of people that do that, that it ignited a flame for me, you know? So I was like, I got to get back to service, man. This is why I even exist, is to serve people. So that's where that started. And then that led to me doing more service. I became an exec board member on their formulary committee. Then I started joining another group, and I became a telehealth director for another nonprofit to help increase access for those who are elderly and getting wellness checks during COVID. So, hey, I'm asking, are you good on your food? Are you good on your meds? Are you good on, transportation? Because sometimes people don't have a way to get around. And we have to ask these questions to really bridge the gaps that COVID has so brightly shone upon our healthcare system. And man, I tell you, that led me to starting geriatrics. And to this day, I can't look back.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love, as you know, I'm a big non-for-profit, charitable guy, with the Goons for Good doing good. I love that you mentioned that you're a servant leader. That's what really bringing a bat is standing up in your community and being able to lead, to show the leadership that every community needs and give them the right information. That's what a leader does, is not just follow me, but lead everybody through. And I love that. Now, I'm sure you could talk about this, but I could see on the video, but I also hear your voice, just how passionate you are. Now, passion is one of those words that I have. So in my coaching practice, I have the path, personal attitudes towards happiness, or because that personal piece is important. How are you able to speak to everybody to get them to understand what you're doing, that you're not just reducing the amount of costs, but you're also making the best decisions alongside them and their doctor?
Sure. So we do a full comprehensive medication review, one, but we start with education. And so we have assessments and tests that I can give to really see where people stand on the health literacy scale. And also we can see where they are financially. And these are some of the two main points, but also we're asking, hey, do you have a support group? Do you have someone at home who's looking out for you who can help you with this? Do you have a church group? Do you have a local food bank in case you need resources? So these are all discovered through trust and through talking and through communicating consistently. When you go to a pharmacy, you kind of go in and say, hey, I'm picking up for, and then you walk away. But you may ask a question or two, right? But do they really know you? Do they really know how you eat? Do they really know what you're doing every day? Do they know where you worship? Do they know where you work? No. And so if you don't have the full picture, how can we truly give you the best clinical advice as a pharmacist or as a provider? If you're homeless, it's a whole different conversation, right? You can't just say, yeah, just go home and figure it out. Like, yeah, you'll be fine. If there's no home, you have to address that, right? And so I'm not just a pharmacist with this company, which is something I try to convey when I talk to my patients, is we are a mixture of social workers, or a mixture of patient advocates and patient access navigators, but it starts with a dialogue. And if you don't talk to me and my patient, I talk to them consistently. They text me. They all have my personal contact. They hit me up whenever they need it. There's a question about an over-the-counter medication. That's the beauty of being a part of our geriatrics family, is you have access to me, day in, day out. So that's first and foremost. But how do I talk to them? Starts with education. Our process starts with, we go through each of your health conditions, each of your medications, and then we go through those barriers that we talked about, if you have any. And if there are them, then we're going to find some way to fix it. Even if it takes a week, a month, we'll fix it. And that's what we at least give you a plan to know how to approach, because it's a tough, hard healthcare landscape.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it sounds like you've had a lot of lessons learned, and which is really huge to learn, not only for yourself, but how do you help somebody unlearn, or even how did you unlearn some of the things? I know you had mentioned some personal challenges. So how do you unlearn some of those behaviors and or how do you help your clients?
That's a good one. So unlearning has been a stubborn process for me to grasp in this last year of entrepreneurship. And particularly, I had to highlight something that was this underlying anxiety with being afraid of my success. That's just really how I can put it the best way. Like, I was so stuck onto the perfection and that it has to be this way. And if not, that I'm failing. Like, I was so extreme to like not have grace for myself, but I would have it for my patients and providers all day, but I would never give that grace to me. So I had to unlearn how to be, you know, a little more kind to myself, but to also be grateful for the good I have provided for patients. And that's something that is practice. Like, that's work in progress for sure. And I have to do it every day. I try to wake up and do at least three things I'm grateful for every day. And it's helped appreciate and show that I'm doing more than I think, because I'm very quick to say, oh, I do 10 things right, one thing wrong. You effed up, you messed up, you're not worthy, you know, back to square one. And that's something that I've had to kind of kill off in my old self to become this new and improved Delon to help my patients the best way possibly.
That's awesome. I love it. You know, gratitude is so important for all of us, no matter what. And sometimes we're our worst enemies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that self-doubt. It can stop you in any which way. And that's great that you're able to do that. And so how do you do that with your clients? How do you, because, you know, you're dealing with a lot of issues. How do you instill that power in your power? How do you share your power with your clients?
Yeah. So there is a tool that I use and embed in our signature service, which is our model of taking care of our patients. It's called motivational interviewing. And that's a style of asking open-ended questions to really gauge, one, are patients ready to make that change? Two, if they are, what can we do to set that's an achievable goal to get them to the right place? And three, how much reinforcement and motivation are we providing to make sure that those behaviors change for the better? Because if you don't have buy-in and you don't have engagement and you don't even care or see a reason to change, then we're not going anywhere. And that's something that motivational interviewing can really help to bring out and address, especially in patients who are just don't know anything about how to manage themselves. They're kind of just, oh, I don't care. It's not a big deal. And that's something that's going to take some rewiring. It's not going to be a one-time presentation, even though I will start with that. But we have to consistently text every day or find reminders, gentle reminders. Hey, did you have a chance to work out? Hey, did you send me your blood sugar or your blood pressure readings today? Hey, did you call your doctor? And these little pushes, although they may seem as nagging, but they're helpful and they lead to outcomes and they lead to change in the patient's mentality. You know, and that's something that's super valuable, is having them change consistently for the good. And that's the most rewarding thing you can ask for from a provider standpoint.
Yeah, no, I love it. And what I'll call is planting seeds. So that's what I always plant seeds. I mean, you've planted a lot of seeds today. Is there any sort of seeds that you want to plant now? You know, any sort of advice you'd like to give us in terms of cost, besides reaching out to you and start helping us save some costs? But are there any sort of seeds you'd like to plant in terms of how to go about doing this?
Sure. So one thing I've noticed with my patients, and a lot of them are caregivers who feel super lost. They feel super hopeless. They feel like healthcare has kind of abandoned them. I want them to know that they're not alone. And this is exactly why I started Geriatrics, is to give you the support, and to not just give you the support, but to give you the tools to really figure out how to solve your loved one's problems. Everyone is concerned about their mom, their aunt, their dad, brother-in-law, whatever you want to call it. And so they feel helpless when they become this new provider in a space that honestly isn't their forte. You can't expect people who are just growing up, aging, to suddenly become healthcare professionals who know how to handle this. That is incorrect. And that is why I feel healthcare is so flawed. But it's also why I'm so passionate about going the extra mile for my patients. So the seed I'm planting is, you are not alone. We are here to advocate, and we are here to empower and educate and make sure that you're getting the best care you possibly can. So that is my seed. Geriatrics is not just a one and done deal. We work as a family, and we make sure we hit those goals that your provider wants and that you want as a patient.
Yeah, that's awesome. And to go along the lines of the hit and the bat metaphors, because I like using a lot of metaphors, is that's the sweet spot, right? That's exactly what you want to do, is you want to find those people who need that guidance. I mean, even myself, when I've gone through it through my parents as a caregiver, you know, there's so much that we don't know. We need to bring on somebody who knows how to swing the bat right and find the sweet spot, or knows how to get to that sweet spot in the right spot. Now, in your regular life, not only for geriatrics, how do you find the sweet spot, or what is your sweet spot?
Sweet spot in terms of where I'm kind of planting seeds for myself, or
For yourself. Yeah.
Oh man, my sweet spot is my family. My little dog Kaya, she's a little black lab. And I mean, service is outside of geriatrics, to be honest. You know, I've been about service, honestly, since I've been in college, and being in fraternities, being in service-based groups and activism, that brings me joy. So my sweet spot is changing the status quo for the better of all, or for the better of those who don't have. And that's like my biggest passion. My family, they're from the islands. They're from Guyana, South America. And they know what it meant to not have a damn thing. And so that's something that's stuck into their three kids, with me being the oldest, on how can we change that for the better for future generations and for those around us. And so Reach One, Teach One has been a consistent theme in my life, but also just in my actions. So I thrive in the realm of service, but on a day-to-day basis, I enjoy eating some good food. I enjoy, you know, just hanging out with Deanna, my girlfriend. Sometimes just relaxing and watching Netflix is just as simple as that. So I'm a regular guy, you know. I'm a big video gamer. I love to, I'm starting to enjoy working out. I haven't worked out in a while, so I'm trying to be a better patient myself, because I've been a terrible patient. But just finding time to appreciate the good has gone a long way for me. And it's been a bit of a change. And that seed took some time to really grow.
Yeah, I really love that. Reach One, Teach One. I love that. You know, and I love that you integrate all parts of your life, you know, how it just flows in between the charity as well as your generous time, how you had mentioned about clients, have your personal number. So I think that's just great. So I think we're going to wrap it up. I mean, I know I so appreciate your comment, especially you and I have talked about it. You know, you're from Brooklyn, so we got to start off with Brooklyn, right? Brooklyn brings to the house. All right.
So You know it. Flatbush all day.
That's it, man. I told you. So is there anything that you'd like to leave us with? Maybe another seed. It doesn't have to be a seed. Just how would you like to end this call for you?
Yeah, for sure, man. Just one little bit of advice is this new me that we're seeing today did not happen overnight. And a lot of myself was very much self-doubt and fearful. And I didn't believe that I can truly make this big of an impact as I have. And this is me in the beginning stage, you know? So I am excited to see the new chapter in 2021. But I encourage people to just, if you are not happy with where you are, please just find a way to invest in yourself, in your passion, like in the one or two things that you really love to do every day, and make that your new thing. And just make that something that's so awesome to you that it becomes your new lifestyle, your new form of money. I don't care if you're trying to go viral playing video games. I don't care if you're trying to climb mountains and just be really good at it. Like, it shouldn't matter, but just do what you love. And I, as a depressed pharmacist, did not do what I loved for at least 33 years of my life. So now I feel like I was just born again. So I want this feeling for everyone, patients, people who are listening, you, Dave. I want you to live and thrive in that bring a bat mode, because it's a great feeling and I love it. So I want everyone to feel that and just keep loving each other and keep bringing peace.
That is awesome. I can't end it any better than that. Thank you so much for your time. I love it, man. So this is another episode with Uncle Dave. Peace, love, and bring a bat. And here we go. Make sure you find your sweet spot. Well, my friends, today's journey has come to a close, but I hope the seeds of peace and love continue to grow for each one of you. But don't forget to bring a bat when you need it. Namaste.